America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. George Bush said today he trusts Karl Rove and considers him an integral part of his team. Bush made his first public comment since the special prosecutor decided not to seek an indictment against Rove in the CIA leak case. In his news conference at the White House Rose Garden, Bush says he and others in his administration heaved a sigh of relief that Rove was cleared. Bush says he appreciates the thorough job the prosecutor did, and it's now time, he says, to move forward. Bush declined further comments, citing the ongoing investigation. Dick Cheney's former chief of staff, Louis Scooter Libby, is still facing trial on charges of perjury and obstruction of justice in the case. Bush today also said the U.S. cannot expect all violence in Iraq to stop. Bush says obviously the U.S. wants violence to go down, but zero violence, he says, is not going to happen.
We shouldn't have, used the level of, have a zero violence, expectation, is because there are other measures to determine success, starting with political measures.
Bush also said Abu Musab al-Zarqawi's death last week leaves militants vulnerable, and the U.S. and allies will keep up the pressure on the rebel insurgents. He says Iraqi and international forces are increasing action against them. Bush says some new intelligence gained in raids since Zarqawi's death has been helping, but Bush says he will not set a timetable for pulling back U.S. troops. A top federal emergency management agency official's defense of hurricane spending drew criticism on Capitol Hill. FEMA's acting deputy director of recovery told a House panel today an audit that found many cases of fraud only represents a fraction of the overall assistance provided. She was reacting to the Government Accountability Office study that found up to $1.4 billion was spent for bogus reasons. The congressional disclosure forms are out there showing once again many senators and congressmen are pretty well off. Senate Republican leader Bill Frist under investigation for insider trading made $5 million last year. Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy had millions in family trust funds. One lawmaker was pretty lucky. House Majority Leader John Boehner had $2,700 in winnings from slot machines. And the U.S. economy showing signs of slower growth heading into summer. A Federal Reserve survey of business around the country hurt by rising costs from energy. Four of the 12 Fed districts had moderated economic activity. This is Air America Radio News.
A question with shades on? No, I'm interested in the shade look, seriously.
All right, I'll keep it then.
For the viewers, there's no sun.
I guess it depends on your perspective.
Okay. Touché.
Yes, that's our fearless leader, old Chucklenuts himself, the perennial high school junior, asking a blind reporter why he's wearing glasses. Reminds me of the time he was at a Stevie Wonder concert, sitting in the front row and waved, remember? The hits from Chucklenuts keep on coming. He held a press conference today about his super-secret surprise party in Baghdad to peer into Maliki's eyes, which means we have moron sounds on the program this evening. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We're also going to chat in about a half an hour with a man named Mark Wilson. We had scheduled him for last Wednesday, a week ago, and that's when we had a major screw-up here in the studio somewhere between here and New York, and we had to postpone it. He is a war veteran and candidate for Senate in Washington State against Maria Cantwell. You may like Maria Cantwell. That's fine. If so, listen to what Mark Wilson has to say, and then check out both candidates thoroughly and make your decision. He'll join us on the program in a few minutes. Now, if you want to take a quick look at his website, it's votemark.org. Very simple, votemark.org. Rumsfeld solved a problem today. The report about the three suicides, the first-hand reports from people on the scene, Rumsfeld's Pentagon has ordered all media off the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base. Writing for the Miami Herald, journalist Carol Rosenberg stated Wednesday morning that the military had, quote, ordered all independent news media off the base by 10 a.m. Wednesday and had arranged a flight to Miami to expedite their departure, close quote. It was called a directive from the Office of Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. And the two-sentence email that was sent to reporters from the Miami Herald and the LA Times said, quote, media currently on the island will depart on Wednesday, 14 June 2006 at 10 a.m. Please be prepared to depart the CBQ at 8 a.m. There you go. That was the entirety of the email, according to the Miami Herald. A Pentagon spokesman confirmed the order, but said it was not in the least related to the journalist's news report about the, what? About the suicides? Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, of course, no. Pentagon press officer J.D. Gordon told the online trade publication, editor and publisher, that the Miami Herald and the L.A. Times reporters were invited to cover tribunals at the base, but subsequently filed stories on the suicides after the tribunals were canceled. No, no, no! When we tell you, you can come down and report on what we tell you you can report on, and you don't do that. Bad reporters. Bad, 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 bad. Spank, 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 spank. Get your gear together and get your little red asses off our island. Go, 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 go. A third journalist, a photographer for the Charlotte Observer, was on the island to produce a piece on the homegrown camp commander. This militaristic Nazi who runs the camp now, apparently, who runs the torture center and the prison camp, is apparently from Charlotte, North Carolina. After stories began appearing about the suicides, the Pentagon arranged the 10 a.m. flight to Miami. Bad reporters! Bad, 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 bad. This is how it works in fascism. Do you, you do understand that, right? Not full-blown fascism. We're not there yet. When Cheney and Rumsfeld and Rice and the rest of these murderers get us to the point where it's full-blown fascism, then the reporters won't be told when to report. That's kind of like what they did in El Salvador or where else in Central America during the Reagan-Bush 1 years. They would say the reporters would be at the airport at 10 a.m., the flight's leaving, be on it. In full-blown fascism, which is probably lurking around the corner unless we murder it, full-blown fascism would not give you the option of a plane flight out. Oh, my God. You know, this is not a Humphrey Bogart movie, right? Full-blown fascism would grab the reporters, take them out in the jungle, and put bullets in their heads. That's what Negroponte taught the Honduran death squads and the Salvadoran death squads to do in the 80s in Central America. No, 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 you don't put them on airplanes, for Christ's sake. Then they'll go home and whine and bitch and complain and moan about how we threw them off the island. You killed them. Killed them. And blame it on left-wing union organizers or priests or nuns or something. Say, oh, we killed all the priests and nuns. Okay. And the union organizers? Okay. Well, then blame it on the drug smugglers. That little bit we played for you at the beginning of the program, Chuckle Nuts in the Rose Garden today with a reporter. And reporter stood up, you know, you know the story now, but the reporter stood up and he had sunglasses on because he's legally blind and he suffers from a macular degenerative disease. It's called Stargardt's disease. Causes progressive vision loss. And the condition forces a person dealing with that condition to be sensitive to glare. And even on a cloudy day, it can cause pain and increase the loss of sight. So reporters stand there, and Bush, being the perennial half-ass that he is, hey, what you got? You know, it was like, oh, you're trying to be cool? I'm the only one cool. Hey, cool. I'm the only one cool. Sunglasses mean you're trying to be cool. I'm cool. I'm the president. I'm standing up here. I'm the cool one. Hey, yo, yo, what are you doing with that, huh? Because of his own half-assedness or insecurities, Bush saw the reporter standing there and thought, out of respect to him, Bush. You know, one goes down on one's knee before the king. Why is that so hard for people to get? So wearing the sunglasses was obviously a lack of respect, right? I mean, isn't that how Chuckle Nuts would interpret it? Sunglasses equal, oh man, look at him, trying to be cool. Redneck frat boy jackass. So then when he finds out that the reporter is legally blind, I don't know if he is totally visionless, but he's legally blind, then later he called the LA Times reporter, Peter Walston, and apologized. Huh? Walston said Bush called the cell phone later in the day to apologize and tell him he didn't know he had the disease. Of course, that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is, frat boy, no, not even frat boy, high school junior, no, I'm sorry, if you're a high school junior, I know this is insulting. Middle school 13, okay, I'm sorry, if you're a middle school 13-year-old, I know it's insulting, but I've got to have some sort of hook here, so you're just going to have to suck it up. All you middle schoolers, listen to the program. Bush comes across like a punk middle schooler. Oh, you got shades on. Oh, you trying to be cool. Hey, you trying to be cool. I'm the only one cool here. I'm the president. I was in Iraq yesterday. Hey, that's what we're here to talk about. Take your shades off. So he called to apologize, and Walston said his only complaint was that Bush didn't answer his question at the news conference to begin with. So you see what happens. It's not the question that becomes the news story. It's the sunglasses and the man's macular degeneration that Bush is too much of an ass to even question. It's just, no, hey, wait, whoa, whoa. Hey, you got sunglasses, you got shades on. You got shades on, huh? You got shades. Are you trying to be cool? You trying to be cool? You trying to be cool, huh? I'm the only one cool here. Hey, I'm cool. This is Air America. How can you judge for me? What I should hear and see.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
no subliminable messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
21 past the hour. Mark Wilson is going to join us in a few minutes. He is running against Maria Cantwell in the Democratic primary in Washington State. So stick around for that. Did you hear what happened to Chuck Grassley today, who is arguably the stupidest Republican senator in Washington? I say arguably because so many of the Republican senators are just flat out ignoramuses. But Chuck Grassley really got a shock today. And encapsulating what happened very neatly here is Prairie, too, who sent me this email. Hey, Mike. Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, has not yet realized his place in the unitary executive. While he can be characterized as one of the dumbest senators ever, and his record in the Senate can only be described as vile, he nonetheless likes to think of himself as a crusader against government corruption. When he subpoenaed the FDA about their approving drugs that kill people, when they knew in advance of the approval that the drug company was faking the research, the subpoenas were ignored. So, he showed up at the FDA office today and was told no one would speak to him. In another case last year, Grassley was investigating Abramoff's phony charities used for laundering bribe money. He apparently didn't get the hint when the chief investigator from the committee he chairs was beaten nearly to death in front of her home in an exclusive suburb of D.C. The attacker could only be described as a classic hitman dressed all in black who said nothing before attacking her with a baton. And, of course, a New York Times reporter attacked in the same manner did die. Mr. Grassley's failure to learn is providing instruction for us all. Thanks, Prairie 2. Yeah, it's an antibiotic. And for the moment, I'm drawing a blank on the name. E-Tech, V-Tech, Key-Tech. Is it Key-Tech? I think it's Key-Tech. And it has the alarming propensity to end the lives of people who take it. So that happens with a lot of drugs. We all know that. It does all kinds of terrible things. My first awareness of the hideousness of drugs was the thalidomide, the results of thalidomide. When was that? The 60s? The drugs were taken in the 50s, and then the women started having children who had taken thalidomide, and you know the result. There's always a trade-off when we take drugs. You weigh the risk. But here's what makes V-Tech, is it V-Tech? E-Tech. Huh? Open your mind. I can't.
I think it's, is it Key-Tech?
Key-Tech. All right. What makes this story so outrageous is the fact that the research presented to the FDA by the pharmaceutical company was faked. It was faked. And the FDA knew it was faked. Who sits on the FDA? Let me see. Stalwart, upstanding Americans? Who sits on the FDA panel? Would it be a biochemist? Let's see. Who sits on the FDA panel? Lobbyists for the drug industry? Bing, 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 bing. You win $1 billion. Yes, you do. So there was, I saw this story tonight on CBS News, and there was Chuck Grassley, who, I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. He looks like a frog. The man looks like a frog. So there he is, froggy, marching into the FDA office. There it was up there. It said the FDA. And he had a camera crew with him and people trailing behind him and everything. And he walks in and gets on the elevator and 5 minutes later walks out. Nothing. They told him to go pound sand into one of his available body orifices. What? You sent us subpoenas? The Senate, a senator sent subpoenas to the Food and Drug. subpoenas. Oh, God. Get out of here, Grassley. Just go away.
Ribbit. Ribbit.
ribbit. Boing, 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 boing. That's the way it works, Chuck. You pop-eyed freak. I worry. Whenever I see pop-eyed people, I worry because, you know, it just screams thyroid condition. Been there, done that, so I know what I'm talking about. I wasn't pop-eyed. I just had a huge tumor develop on mine. And they took it out. They got it. Got all of it. But poor Chuck Grassley, who honestly believes that because he's a Republican, oh, Jesus, Chuck, come on. Because you're Republican, you think you're an insider. You think you're on the inside. You may be a member of the Bush crime family, but you're just a useful idiot, Chuck.
Still not sleepy, trying to trick myself into thinking that I'm not awake, that it's only a dream.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read The Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for The Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
My one favorite spread has been Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I'm Bob Harris, and I've got another favorite spread that I think you'll love. It's new Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. It contains no hydrogenated oil, no trans fatty acid, no refined sugar, all natural ingredients, and 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. New Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter with 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. We deep roast premium quality peanuts to make it taste great.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I know. Who's he? I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why would Headline News give me a show?
Maybe.
Because politically correct really isn't in my vocabulary. It's time somebody says what we're all thinking, from politics to pop culture. Every night, Headline News sets me loose. Not to save the world, just to look for some common sense. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace.
legalizing drugs would completely undermine the message that drug use is wrong.
Poor old Charles Grassley. Hey, I'm a United States Senator. I have a right to know why the FDA approved a certain drug after knowing that the research on it was fake. Get out of here, Senator. Speaking of senators, Mark Wilson joins us. He is in the state of Washington. He's going to be in the primary coming up soon against Maria Cantwell for a Senate seat from the state of Washington. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. I apologize for last Wednesday. We just had, I don't know, it was either sabotage or incompetence on our part, but we weren't on the air last Wednesday. By the way, Mark, the program is delayed, as you know, in Seattle. So at 10 o'clock tonight, Seattle time, you can hear yourself.
Okay.
Woo! All right. His website is votemark.org. Let's just start out right away. Why should people vote for you in this primary and not Maria Cantwell? A lot of people think she's doing a good job, except on the Iraq War.
Well, there's actually several reasons. Number one is my desire is to protect this important seat. So, you know, I'm running because I don't want to see it made a gift because of the division that exists within the party. And, of course, it's not only the war that she voted for that was based on lies and faulty intelligence that she has no regrets for supporting, but also two versions of the Patriot Act for supporting Bush cronies like smoking gun, mushroom cloud, Condoleezza Rice, Death Squad John Negroponte as the Director of National Intelligence, the movement of class action lawsuits from state to federal court for NAFTA, for CAFTA. It's really the wrong direction for Washington State and the wrong direction for America. We need to send people to the United States Senate who will behave as though the future actually matters for everyone rather than just the financed corporate interests that seem to dictate policy.
Yeah, that's the truth. I don't want to focus too much on Ms. Cantwell, but what makes a Democrat like Maria Cantwell or a Democrat from Illinois like Barack Obama present themselves as liberals, present themselves as progressives, and then when they get into the United States Senate, all of a sudden, they start doing things that are decidedly not progressive and not liberal, not even mainstream, but more to the right, because mainstream ideas in this country now is pretty much the progressive Democrat agenda, universal health care, repealing the USA Patriot Act, just on and on. What happens to Democrats when they get into the Senate?
Well, it's because I'm sure that really it's about the pursuit of corporate money to maintain power for incumbency. It's the system by which we vote for and allow these elections to be conducted. So I believe we're not going to see much of a change until we can get to publicly financed elections, and I think that's going to be the key of not only bringing the voice of ordinary people forward, but I think we could actually rehabilitate a lot of those already in Congress if we could just actually have them focused on actually reading and writing legislation rather than having lobbyists deliver it with campaign contributions.
Mm-hmm. General Motors, which when I was a kid growing up was like the sine qua non of global corporations. I grew up in a feeder city, Toledo, Ohio, that fed into Detroit. And one of the results of all the working people in Toledo was cars that came out of General Motors and Ford and who's the other one? General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler,
right,
until that kind of got subsumed. But General Motors right now is facing bankruptcy, and the United Auto Workers is facing one hell of a situation with all the retirees. And part of the reason that General Motors is facing bankruptcy has to do with how much they're spending on health care. Mm-hmm. The idea of having corporations handle health care to me is close to an obscenity. We should have single-payer health care in this country. That's the way I feel about it. How do you feel about it?
I couldn't agree more, Mike. And, in fact, we're already paying for it, as you well know, as I've heard you speak about it before, too. And the fact is that what we really need to do is cut out the middleman and deliver the health care to everyone. But what's interesting, too, is about the opportunity I think that we have by seeing these failures. We could actually turn those automakers and take advantage of that highly trained workforce and that in-place infrastructure and begin to get people back to work, putting in place a national back-to-works program that would, I think, replace the vulnerable and polluting nuclear, coal-fired, hydroelectric grids throughout the United States with renewable energy projects, and I think that would really help to lift a real tide that wouldn't swamp the boats, but rise those boats.
You know, I heard something today, or I read something today, I forget, but going back to this healthcare issue and General Motors specifically, removing the cost of health care from the cost of an automobile or a pickup truck or whatever it is we buy, what we're paying for, as you point out, what we're paying for is health care anyway, right in there.
Right.
But what happened, let's supposing we had universal single-payer health care, what happens to all those people who do work for the so-called middleman, those corporations like Blue Cross Blue Shield? There'd be an awful lot of people that would be unemployed, right?
Well, I agree that there is going to be some displacement, but eventually by lifting the economy, we're going to find new opportunities for these folks to be able to be engaged in actually producing something that's going to mean something for everyone in the future.
All right. And I know it's going to be a tough transition. If this country would ever join that club of progressive, industrialized, neoliberal nations that have single-payer health care, there would be a rough transition period. I'm not sure how we'd get through it, but I just think that health care should not be something that depends on whether or not people can afford it. It's sickening what has happened. Talk some more about how to revitalize the middle class. I keep seeing, Mark, all these reports about how good the economy is doing, and I don't see it.
I don't see it either, and I believe that it's being falsely propped up through tremendous amounts of market manipulation. And in fact, the war on Iraq is just plundering the middle class, and what we're going to be leaving our children is this incredible debt, and it's going to have to be met in some way. And without really addressing the root causes of how we've organized ourselves around things military, I think we won't be able to, in fact, put in place the necessary safeguards that will ensure an opportunity for us to get to work. And saying that, when, you know, I think we're spending in the neighborhood of $600 billion a year for complex weapons systems to protect us from terrorists who use box cutters to attack Americans. Mm-hmm. And it really seems sort of like overkill and a plunderous pillage of public resources that certainly could be redirected to meeting needs here at home. But also, unless we address our trade policy and our foreign policy and get the Department of Defense out of the State Department, I think that we're still going to find ourselves looking for these quagmires to rationalize the spending.
Now, you're a former Marine, is that right?
That's correct.
Were you, this is not a challenge, just a question, were you in combat?
No, I wasn't.
Of course, I guess you could say a Marine is always in combat one way or another.
Well, that's true.
How do you feel about, and if you can get personal here for a moment, how do you feel about soldiers and Marines, people that perhaps, you can make an argument when you join the Marines, you don't kid yourself, you know that if there's a war, no matter who starts it, you're going in.
That's right.
Although in the Army, Reserve, and National Guard, that's not necessarily the case. How do you feel about the soldiers and Marines who have had to participate in Bush's adventure in the Middle East and what's happening to them when they're coming back?
Well, I believe that they're victims, really, also of a massive campaign to confuse values that we have been spoon-fed, really, as pablum to a large degree, to realize that, in fact, that this is an illegal war, that it was based on lies and faulty intelligence, and then to find that these young folks are consumed into this machine. A lot of brainwashing and misinformation that goes on, really, and it begins at an early age when you really consider the long and kind of tragic exposure that children go through repeated scenes of violence in order to rationalize the eventual consumption of finding themselves in the military because of lack of educational or economic opportunity. So, I see many of the folks in the military today as victims, and in fact, I'm the father of two veterans and the son of one. So, three generations of military service, I really do understand the impact of what military service represents. And I'm also engaged as one of the founding members of our local Veterans for Peace chapter here. And we work hard to make sure that those who are going to go into the military do so with their eyes wide open of what those risks and costs are that they will be brought to bear. But it's unconscionable that that this government is using our military as a private security detail to protect the assets of these global corporations who owe no allegiance to us. And in fact, then when they come back, they're sort of like the redheaded stepchild, just slapped to the side and not getting the treatment and the resources necessary. And I certainly will fight to prevent our military from being used in this fashion and make sure that they are advocated for by someone who has really been there.
We have to take a break here, Mark, and then when we come back, we'll have another 4 or 5 minutes. You can stick around?
Sure.
Okay. When we come back, I want you to consider this question, if you don't mind, during the break. What's the most important thing, the most important message you want people to hear, people who are listening to this program, whether they're in the state of Washington or across the country? So give it a little thought. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
We're talking with Mark Wilson. Check out his website, votemark.org. And as you've always heard me say, there's a button there you can push to make a contribution. So do what you think is right. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Entrepreneur. Smart word. So smart, it's almost a different language. Look it up. Here at Budget Rent-A-Car, we admire entrepreneurs, and not just for their bilingual skills, but also for their courage, and for the big thinking they show by opening a small business and joining the Budget Business Program. Yes, the Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. That's $2 back every day. No wonder Budget won the 2006 Entrepreneur Magazine Business Travel Award as the best car rental value for small businesses. Such an entrepreneur thing to do. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business to sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, not our guest. We're talking with Mark Wilson, who is in the Democratic primary against Maria Cantwell to be a Democratic senator from the state of Washington. Mark, what is the most important thing that you want people in the state of Washington who directly affect whether or not you're going to be a senator from that state and people around the country? What's the most important thing you want them to know about you?
Well, I want them to know about themselves, really, that I believe it's critically important that we elevate our expectations of those who would dare to govern us and demand that they exceed those expectations. And I believe that when ordinary citizens, that when we unite in a spirit of positive change, that we can absolutely take our country and our world forward and begin to hear the voice of ordinary citizens above the enormous roar of the concentrated wealth and the corporate power that has become out of control. That we must absolutely vote our values. And I urge the voters of Washington State that if Maria Cantwell represents your values, and if you agree with the votes that she's cast, then get behind her and support her. Mm-hmm. If I, on the other hand, represent some hope, then please make sure that you vote your values. We found that in fact, plugging our nose actually and supporting somebody who doesn't represent our values cuts off oxygen to our brain, and we may not be making the best decisions. So let's move forward with hope and courage and confidence and unify ourselves to make sure that we, first of all, retain this important seat and demand that those who would dare to govern us will rise to the occasion, or they will find themselves looking for work elsewhere.
What is the system of tallying the votes in Washington State? Are you all using scanners, touchscreen, paper ballots? What?
It's a combination between scanners and touchscreen.
And are you reasonably confident that the votes that are cast in Washington State are counted and counted properly?
I am very hopeful that that is moving along in the right direction, that the debate is certainly reaching a fevered pitch, and I know that all parties want to see that an accurate count of the votes. So I'm very hopeful that we'll be able to see that those are verifiable and transparent, and that we have got to get control of that or we've got nothing.
The Secretary of State in the state of Washington, is that person concerned about how the votes are tabulated?
Not to my knowledge. I think he feels pretty confident that in fact, you may have remembered that our governor won by only 133 votes in 2004, and it was after three counts, two recounts. And in fact, the U.S. Senate seat that I'm challenging for, when it was first won, was won by only 2,229 votes. So these slim margins really show that Washington State can be purple rather than blue. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for us to get out the vote to make sure that Democrats and progressives and those in the middle, independents, who want to see a real change and send not only a message but a true messenger that will represent the voice and values of ordinary people, that we can get to the U.S. Senate and begin to create a future that's going to have some hope and meaning for our children and theirs.
You know, for a lot of people, Mark, the essential issue right now is what we're doing in Iraq, and I just want the people in your state who will be voting for you to be real clear, at least in this conversation, on how you stand about the situation in Iraq. How do you stand on that?
Well, I stood out against the war before it began, and I've only become more resolved in my determination to see an immediate withdrawal of United States forces. The only thing that's going to happen by our continued stay is more chaos, confusion, and death. And I believe that the sooner that we can get troops out, and I mean immediately, the better it will be for our troops, for the American economy, and for the Iraqis. I mean, there's no way that we can possibly hope to sell democracy at the barrel of a rifle. That is just ludicrous.
Yeah. When is your primary in Washington?
September the 19th.
September the 19th, then the general is November 7th, right?
Right. So it's only 7 weeks between those two.
How's the campaign coffers? Are you overflowing with money?
I am not. This is a grassroots effort. The one thing I'm overflowing with is volunteers. I have 800 volunteers who've signed up for my campaign from all over the state. And in fact, my opponent has only 500, well, less than 550, but of course is a multimillionaire from a big corporation. And I just wanted to say that the choices that we have between Senator Cantwell, who is the incumbent, who made millions at Real Networks, or this Republican former CEO of Safeco Insurance, who's also a multimillionaire from a big corporation, know which, who actually butters their bread, so to speak. And but the tragedy is that they agree on some of the most egregious elements of policy that have been shoved through the Congress in the history of the United States. This illegal war, the Patriot Act, trade policy that's led to the offshoring of 3 million good-paying jobs overseas. And I'm a former Teamster union member in a state that enjoys a pretty, still a pretty solid union bloc. And as a veteran and the father of veterans with 800,000 veterans here in Washington State, I've really had my boots on the ground and know with my knuckles what real work and challenge is about.
That's really something. A former Teamster union member, a former Marine, a father of veterans, and the son of a veteran. I don't know, and a progressive agenda. I don't know how people in the state of Washington could say no to your candidacy, Mark. I really don't. His website is votemark.org, and when you get to the website, read his position on various issues, but also pay attention to the contribute button. Candidates who are not wealthy do need help. They do need the money, especially in the primary. Once the primary, if Mark wins the primary, then it gets a little easier. So help this guy out. Seriously, folks, if this is the kind of candidate you want. Mark, it's been a pleasure. I hope we hear from you after you win the primary and as you move on to the general election. Best of luck to you, okay?
Thank you so much, Mike.
All right. Take care, sir. Take care.
Bye-bye.
We have a break here. We'll be back after that break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
On Air America Radio.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Why did I get a show? Well, maybe it's because I'm not afraid to say what we're all thinking. First, politicians. You get paid to work, not talk. Start fixing gas prices. Get serious about Iraq, Iran, and immigration. Next, Brittany, Paris, Tom, Katie. What kind of idols do our kids have these days? I'm just looking for a little common sense here and there. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Death by taser. Law enforcement officials have counted more than 180 deaths in the year since tasers came into widespread use to stun suspects. Now the government says it's time to do an official safety review. Stun guns have soared in popularity as a non-lethal alternative to guns firing bullets, but some suspects die after being shocked by these electronic control devices. The Justice Department's research arm counts 184 such deaths, most of them since 2000. Amnesty International has called for a moratorium on stun gun use, saying the tally comes to at least 160 deaths in the past 5 years. Officials say the study will not look at whether the stun guns were used appropriately. They will only make medical assessments in the instances where the weapons were used. George Bush says he believes the Republicans will hold on to both the House and Senate when the elections are held in November. Bush says the 2006 vote's a long way off, and what will matter, he says, is which party has a plan to succeed in Iraq and keep the economy strong at home. Speaking at the White House news conference, Bush also says he would like to close the detention center at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. But Bush warns the place holds some people he describes as, quote, darn dangerous. He was asked if the facility is damaging America's image abroad. He says eventually the detainees will either be sent home or put on trial. He says they will get proper legal representation during trials. Bush also says a lot of people have already been returned to their countries from Guantanamo. Asked about other problems, including abuse of prisoners at an Iraqi jail and accusations that Marines killed civilians, Bush says 99.9% of U.S. troops are honorable people serving under tough conditions. When you are in the back of an ambulance, the last thing you want is to be turned away at the emergency room because the place is too busy, but a new study finds that happens a lot. According to the Institute of Medicine, an ambulance with a sick patient is turned away from an ER 500,000 times every year. That's about once every minute. Crews are forced to drive to hospitals farther away. But the study does not make clear how many people actually died as a result of this. Researchers say it's tough to track patients after the 911 call. The report says the overcrowded ERs show how overwhelmed America's emergency care system is. One doctor is worried if we can't handle routine days, what would happen during a terrorist attack or the bird flu? This is Air America Radio News.
Peter, you going to ask that question with those shades on?
I can take one.
No, I'm interested in the shade look, seriously.
All right, I'll keep it then.
For the viewers, there's no sun.
I guess it depends on your perspective.
Okay. Touché.
Touché, isn't that French? Is that French? Or is that Espanol? So there he was today in the Rose Garden, talking about his most exciting weekend, jetting in and out of Baghdad. The World Socialist website has an article, Bush in Baghdad, written by Patrick Martin. And one of my reliable listeners just sent me the link. Let me quote from this. Bush's trip to Baghdad Tuesday has been hailed by the American media and official Washington as something of a political masterstroke. But no amount of spin can alter the sense of something degrading and even ludicrous in the spectacle of an American president stealing into a foreign capital, spending 5 hours on the ground in a series of stage-managed and largely meaningless public appearances, and then flying off under cover of darkness, never having left the safety of the fortified green zone in downtown Baghdad. The most remarkable fact of the visit was that the Iraqi Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, was informed of Bush's presence in his country only 5 minutes before he was ushered in to meet the U.S. President. Until then, Maliki had been led to believe he was going to the U.S. Embassy to participate in a video conference with Bush and his war cabinet ensconced in the presidential retreat at Camp David, Maryland. Maliki's ignorance of Bush's arrival demonstrates that the government installed in Baghdad by the American invaders lacks one of the most essential attributes of sovereignty. It has no control over who comes into the country. If Bush had swooped down on any other capital city in that fashion, with the possible exception of Kabul, headquarters of another U.S. stooge regime, his plane or helicopter would have been intercepted or even shot down. But Iraq is not an independent country. It is a conquered province of the U.S. Empire. The Iraqi, quote, government, close quote, does not govern, even in Baghdad. It is simply an agency of the real government. The American occupation regime, headed by U.S. Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad and enforced by 130,000 U.S. troops. And it goes on. And I agree. Well, yeah, you know, this photo op nonsense, and what happened? He got a 3 or 4 point bounce? That's what this was about. You know, Rove had to stretch his jock strap a little bit after he found out that he wasn't going to be indicted, at least not publicly, at least not now. At least the indictment was not going to be opened. But, you know, the official story, not going to be indicted, so let me stretch it out here a little bit and send Bush, send Chucklenuts over to Iraq. Let him bounce into this poor Maliki freak. And so he did. So at the Rose Garden press conference today, regarding his surprise visit to that poor, miserable, sad country, which gave him a chance to slur his words at the troops and peer into Prime Minister Maliki's eyes, but before the reporters got around to the Iraqi questions, one reporter wanted to pick Bush's brain about the non-indictment of Bush's brain, Karl Rove. The reporter starts out by saying, now, anywhere in here, please insert your own irony at the appropriate moments during Chucklenuts' answer. But here's the question. Mr. President, what kind of signal do you think it sends to the Iraqi people that your administration notified the leader of Iraq's sovereign government only 5 minutes beforehand, before your arrival? And was there a specific security concern about either Prime Minister Maliki's inner circle or others that led you to make that decision?
I appreciate the job that the prosecutor did. Thought he conducted himself well in this investigation. He took.
All right, my bad. I've got the wrong I've got the wrong question here, and the answer that he gave makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. All right. What was said, I'm just going to have to read it to you. What Bush said after getting that question, he said, "I appreciate the job that the prosecutor did. I thought he conducted himself well in this investigation. He took a very thorough, long look at allegations and rumors, and I, obviously, along with others in the White House, took a sigh of relief when he made the decision he made. And now we're going to move forward, and I trust Karl Rove, and he's an integral part of my team." It's incredible. All right. Now, time to play the... to play Guess the Word of the Day with Chucklenuts. Here he's discussing his meeting with the eyes of Maliki.
Prime Minister Maliki is promoting reconciliation among the Iraqi people. And during my discussions with his cabinet and others, the concept of reconciliation kept coming up. People know they've got to reconcile the past in order to have a bright future. He told us he's going to soon appoint a reconciliation committee that will focus on resolving specific concerns of different Iraqi communities.
Are you getting it?
We will support his efforts to bring the Iraqis together by encouraging leaders from countries like South Africa to share their experiences with this new government, to help them reconcile the past.
All right, we know what the word of the day is, Chucklenuts, but what the hell does this even mean? How do you reconcile Saddam Hussein's brutality with the shock and awe of American brutality? How do you do that?
Oh, let's go to the South Africans.
Remember when Cheney was a U.S. representative from Wyoming, and a vote came up about sanctions against South Africa, and Cheney made a speech in the well of the House and then voted against sanctions? He liked the fact that the African black people were being held down under the boot of Mr. Botha. So now Bush is going to draw on the South African experience. He's going to ask people, if I were a South African, black or white, and Mr. Bush asked me to come to Iraq for a reconciliation, when I stopped laughing, I would give him the middle finger until one of his guards shot it off, I guess. So here's more unintended irony from this giggling killer. Reporter says, "Mr. President, you said yesterday that a standard of no violence in Iraq is an impossible standard to meet. But do you believe that there needs to be a reduction in violence for U.S. troops to begin a drawdown? And if so, how much?" What? This reporter is just as dumb as Bush. Sounds almost like Bush admits he and Rumi are abusing their war powers and their illegal oil wars. It's amazing. He's guilty of the very acts of brutality and conscienceless killing that he accuses the insurgents of doing.
This is a tough struggle, and the reason why is because the rules of warfare, as we used to know them, are out the window. I mean, there's no rules of warfare. It's just if you can kill innocent life in order to shake somebody's will or create consternation in society, just go ahead and do it. And so it's a tough task, no question about it.
It's astonishing. This dumb bastard is literally defining what we are doing in Iraq. He says this is a tough struggle. The reason why is because the rules of warfare as we used to know them are out the window. Who threw them out? Half-ass here threw them out. He says, I mean, there's no rules of warfare. Oh, really? No, there are still rules, Bush. You just don't abide by them. He says, it's just if you can kill innocent life in order to shake somebody's will or create consternation, oh, I love that word, in a society, just go ahead and do it. That's what you are doing. It's unbelievable. When you listen to this sick man and you hear him define himself and his regime as he ostensibly is defining his enemy. He's talking about himself. He's talking about how he has destroyed international law, how he has polluted and dumped on the United States military. It's unbelievable to listen to. We'll be right back. Oh no, better stop saying, 'cause there's a tissue of cracks in the liberty balance.
devil wants to know me careful. You gotta burn down the brush, you gotta turn up the heat, you gotta look a fight to cloth the neck and hide from the seat. Because W's got a mission, W's got a plan, W's got a pistol, it's burning in his hand. This is turn the world into one big Texas.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is Air America's Jerry Springer. The plight of refugees worldwide does not reach the headlines nearly as often as it should. But away from the headlines, there's a lot being done to help. The United Nations Refugee Agency is at the forefront, working every day to lessen the plight of millions of displaced people. June 20th is World Refugee Day. All of us at Air America Radio urge you to find out more about the work that goes on year-round and how you can help. Visit UNHCR.org or AirAmerica.com.
Did you know that most vacuums sold today spew dust and bacteria back into the air your family breathes? It's disgusting, I know. Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I want to assure you that my 8-pound Orrick XL does not blow dirt back into the air. For a healthier environment, you want a hypoallergenic Orrick XL. Call me at 1-800-989-4200 for a free 30-day trial. 1-800-989-4200. I promise, my Orrick XL won't blow dirt back into the air. Ever.
First century, and there's there's universal approval of the statements I had made, and I'm confident there will be universal approval of the actions this government takes.
Jesus Christ. Give up my whole day. Wait. Okay, back to that was then, this is now. Georgie, back to the Rose Garden today. In his press conference about his most exciting jaunt to Iraq on Tuesday. Reporter asked about the recent suicides at our torture facility in Guantanamo, Cuba. Reporter says, you expressed serious concern when you learned about the Guantanamo suicides, and you and your aides immediately called allies. I'm wondering, how concerned are you about the U.S. image abroad based on this incident and the ongoing investigation in Haditha and Abu Ghraib and other incidents? And so, and also, why shouldn't Guantanamo be closed now? Now, I want you, as you listen to Bush's lies about the dangerous detainees, remember, according to the Pentagon's own statistics, 55% of detainees are not determined to have committed any hostile acts against the U.S. or coalition allies. Only 5% were captured by U.S. forces on the battlefield, and only 8% are accused of having ties to Al-Qaeda. Now, that's the Pentagon's own statistics, so cut them all in half if you want the truth. But the reporter wants to know, how concerned are you about the U.S. image abroad based on this incident, the suicides?
Now, these people picked up off the battlefield, and they're very dangerous. And
lie.
So we have that balance between customary justice, you know, the typical system, and one that will be done in the military courts, and that's what we're waiting for. Eventually, these people will have trials.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Can you believe this? We have that balance between customary justice, the typical system, and one will be done in the military courts. What is it? What are you talking about? Balance between customary justice. These people can't even see a lawyer. They don't even know what they've been charged with. These people have been picked up off the battlefield, he says. The vast majority of them were turned in by Pakistani bounty hunters or ex-Taliban and are completely innocent. Many are teenagers when they were glommed up. This is another permanent dark stain on American history. God have mercy, we have a lot of them, don't we? Huh? With genocide and slavery. Huh? This one. This is Soviet Union. This is Gulag. This is beating people to death. This is doing things to people that robs them of even a shred of dignity. And then these sorry sons of bitches who made the statements the other day about this was a PR move. Or an example of asymmetrical warfare against the United States. That I can't get my mind around that. Why doesn't anyone in the Republican Party speak out about these atrocities? Don't they realize that their silence is approval of this medieval treatment of innocent civilians? And then this lying little disgusting imitation of a man says eventually these people will have trials. Eventually these people will have trials. Oh my God. Is that Stalin-esque, Hitlerian? Mao-like, eventually these people will have trials. Eventually these people will have trials. We will hold them for years with no charge. But eventually they'll have trials. Oh, God. God. This answer... Well, the answer to the next one is classical Bush. Makes no sense at all. We're going to have to wait. Do you want to play it now? No, we can't play it now? All right. We'll have to play it when we come back. But, you know, when I listen to this stuff, I don't know how this stuff affects you, but when I listen to this, you know, this is Q&A stuff that nobody reports on. I don't know. Maybe Randy Rhodes had some of it on today. I have no idea. I don't know anymore because I can't hear Air America here in Atlanta. And wait till I tell you why we're off the air here. Or as a matter of fact, Kathy will tell you. She was coming back from some errands today and tuned in to 1690, the former Air America station here. And the owner, the new owner, has his own little toy program on from 3 to 6 called The Long Drive Home. And in a tirade that even stunned Kathy. And when I say even stunned Kathy, it's because, you know, she's been in the radio business now for 3 years, and she knows this is a brutal bitch. How long have you been here? I don't, 6. Excuse me, I'm sorry, honey, don't climb through the glass at me. 6 years. And she understands that this is the worst business in the world. We love our jobs, but we hate the business. And what she heard today, I'm going to let her tell it in her own words, because I'm even going to try to. But this guy laid out the reasons why all the programming on 1690 AM Atlanta has been removed, except Al Franken. You may be surprised. Stick around. That's after we do this the rest of Bush, and then we're going to go come to your phone calls and some other stuff. We have some other stuff. What the hell? This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. By the finest fever. We don't know what to start. Peace to give up. We didn't know. Would you ever forgive us? This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
In TV, you need intelligence, integrity, and a camera to cover the news. They've got the camera.
Were we rolling on that?
On what?
Comedy Central's Dog Bites Man. Tonight at 10:30, 9:30 Central. They're the news team that won't stop until they get the big stories.
Are all bodybuilders bisexual? Is spring break broken?
Well, certain stories are good for sweeps week. We've tackled what's in your muffin. Who else is going to go there?
Dog Bites Man. Tonight at 10:30, 9:30 Central. Only on Comedy Central.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I know. Who's he? I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why would Headline News give me a show?
Maybe.
Because politically correct really isn't in my vocabulary. It's time somebody says what we're all thinking, from politics to pop culture. Every night, Headline News sets me loose. Not to save the world. Just to look for some common sense. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malone. You must think I'm
delirious. 26 before the hour. All right, two more here. Two more from Chuckle Nuts. Is it two or is it three? Okay, three more quick sound bites. In the Rose Garden press conference today after his surprise visit to Baghdad. And again, this answer is classical Bush, makes no sense at all. A reporter says, what are your feelings about discussions in the new Iraqi government of amnesty for insurgents?
I talked to the Prime Minister about his question of possible amnesty. The Prime Minister, I think, was reconciliation. This is an issue that is on the minds of a lot of the folks there in Iraq.
Oh, you would know.
How to reconcile an ugly past with a hopeful future. Oh, and part of that is reconciliation. I'm not exactly sure how you would, what you mean by, if somebody's committed a crime, I don't know whether or not they'll be that lenient, frankly. But I do recognize that, they recognize that, for example, Ba'ath Party membership in order to secure a job or to be able to get an advanced degree shouldn't be held against a person. And I think they're willing to balance the difference between terror and expediency in the right word, but terror and a membership of a party to advance one's, life. And I was impressed. I was impressed by their the sophisticated nature of that discussion.
Oh, Jesus, God. Here, wait a minute. Let me get the pencil out of my nose. Ah! The press, after that, stared at him in stunned silence. Now, I'm editorializing there, but if that wasn't stunned silence, I don't know what is. I'm not exactly sure how you would, what you mean by, if somebody is committed a crime, I don't know whether or not they'll be that lenient, frankly. What he means to say there is, I'd waterboard them at the very least. Maybe make them form a nude pyramid and smear them with dog feces. I think that's appropriate, don't you? Play that again. Just cue it up and play it again. The question is, what are your feelings about discussions in the new Iraqi government of amnesty for insurgents?
I talked to the Prime Minister about his question of possible amnesty. The Prime Minister, I think, was reconciliation. This is an issue that is on the minds of a lot of the folks there in Iraq. They're trying to figure out how to reconcile an ugly past with a hopeful future. Part of that is reconciliation. I'm not exactly sure how you would, what you mean by, if somebody's committed a crime, I don't know whether or not they'll be that lenient, frankly. But I do recognize that, they recognize that, for example, Ba'ath Party membership in order to secure a job or to be able to get an advanced degree shouldn't be held against a person.
Oh, my God.
And I think they're willing to balance the difference between terror and...
Say it.
Expediency in the right word, but terror and a membership of a party
membership
to advance
there
one's, life.
Yeah,
and, I was impressed. I was impressed by their the sophisticated nature of that discussion.
Wouldn't you love to hear what I just played twice for you on Wolf Blitzer's program? Wouldn't you love to hear this? Bob Schieffer set up the question and say, well, let's go to our reporter, the ones we have left alive in Iraq, and here's, what do you make of what Mr. Bush says when he answers this question, reporter? Wouldn't you love to hear this soundbite on NBC? No. Never happened. Now, the next reporter wants a little more detail on the sudden and surprising nature of his trip to Iraq.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, what kind of signal do you think it sends to the Iraqi people that your administration notified the leader of Iraq's sovereign government only 5 minutes before your arrival?
No, I think it, look, it's a security concern because I'm a high value target for some.
Cheney?
Iraq's a dangerous place, and I'm not going to put our government at risk to achieve a very important trip, and therefore we were.
What?
A lot of people didn't know about it. Half my cabinet didn't know about it. Does that mean I'm going to run them off? No. It's just we want to make sure we're extra secret about this deal. And the reason why is Iraq's dangerous. It's a dangerous place. And I think if there was ample notification that I was coming, perhaps would have given somebody a chance to plan. And so there's no question about Prime Minister Maliki's. Well, you know, when he walked in, I didn't fear. I was happy to see him, and he was happy to see me.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank God you didn't think Maliki, is that what he calls him? Maliki was going to kill you. Apparently you trust him more than your own cabinet. Jesus Christ. Does that mean I'm going to run him off? No, I just we want to make sure we're extra secret about this deal. You're extra secret about everything, you psychopath. Now you don't even trust half your own cabinet? Is this the classic cocaine paranoia I've heard about? I only did cocaine a little bit until I realized, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, not this one. I'll stick with the mushrooms and the weeds and the plants and stuff, but not this stuff. No, 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 no. But I have heard stories. I have seen some of my friends who ingested maybe, a third of what Bush ingested. I have seen my friends clawing at window panes and doors trying to get out of places because bugs were coming. Is that what the... Iraq's a very dangerous place. Wait a second. A dangerous place? I thought there was progress and children flying kites. Oh, no, that's right. That's in Afghanistan. And then the children get blown up when they step on a landmine or we shoot them because they showed up on the screen as a blip where they shouldn't be or whatever. I don't know. How do you achieve a trip? Iraq is a dangerous place. I'm not going to put our government at risk to achieve a very important trip. What the hell does that mean? I'm not going to put our government. Does he mean the stooges he has in Iraq? Or does he mean the stooges he has in Washington? What does he mean? I'm a high-value target for who? Cheney? Scalia? This is unbelievable stuff. You know, the 20 or 30 comedy writers Al Franken employs couldn't write this kind of stuff. Last one from the chimp for this evening. Reporter says, we got time to do this? All right. Reporter says, Mr. President, you just mentioned that you think the United States will be able to measure progress in terms of electricity and oil and violence. And I'm wondering, sir, if you can say how you're going to measure that in terms of time. In other words, are you going to put a 6-month time frame on this or a 12-month time frame or a year or a century or infinity?
John, I know. Look, I understand the pressures to put timetables out there on everything. And my answer to you is that we will work with the Iraqi government to do what's realistic.
Oh, my God!
And the people on the ground will help me understand what is realistic.
Oh, yeah, okay.
We will know whether or not the government is capable of following through because we're going to help them follow through. The answer to electricity is sooner the better. It's hot over there.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's hot over there. It's hot over there. It's really hot in the morgues. That's where all the bodies go of the people that we slice and dice. It's hot over there. The answer to electricity is sooner the better. It's hot over there. I don't know whether to scream or weep or laugh or throw up. Our reputation, what's left of it, with Mensa Man here at the helm. It's dreadful. Play that one more time. This is the reporter asking about a time frame and asking about measuring progress in terms of electricity and oil and violence. Listen to this.
John, I know. Look, I understand the pressures to put timetables out there.
On everything.
On everything. And my answer to you is that we will work with the Iraqi government to do what's realistic.
Oh, Jesus.
And the people on the ground will help me understand what is realistic. We will know whether or not the government is capable of following through, because we're going to help them follow through. The answer to electricity is sooner the better. It's hot over there.
How does this ignorant fool's mind work? Death, destruction, bombing, decapitations, children being turned into red mist, soldiers having their arms and legs and faces blown off, and this psychopath says it's hot over there.
There's no vacancy as you stare at me vacantly. The lights are out, but I can't see. There's nobody home. Oh, no, there's nobody home. I love your smile, but when you talk, there's nobody home. I love it when you speak your mind. Nobody home. It's nice to have some quiet time. There's nobody home. The sign says there's no vacancy, but everything you say to me convinces me most certainly there's nobody home.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why did I get a show? Well, maybe it's because I'm not afraid to say what we're all thinking. First, politicians. You get paid to work, not talk. Start fixing gas prices. Get serious about Iraq, Iran, and immigration. Next, Brittany, Paris, Tom, Katie. What kind of idols do our kids have these days? I'm just looking for a little common sense here and there. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific.
misunderestimated the fact that we love a neighbor in need. They underestimated the compassion of our country. I think they misunderestimated the will and determination of the commander-in-chief, too.
I think you misunderestimated whether or not you're alive or not. You know. It's hot over there. Is he talking about New Orleans or Iraq? Huh? I guess you'd say the same thing about New Orleans, right? All right, now listen up. A lot of people who are listening tonight via the Internet or XM who in the Atlanta area who used to listen to us on 1690 AM here and got shocked when they found out we're no longer on the station. Of course, we warned you. And we've been getting lots of emails and phone calls about why aren't you there? So here's that. I had no idea. I knew a new owner had bought the station and decided to trash all of Air America programming except Al Franken, which is the way it is here now. And the programming that's in place of it is a mishmash of stuff I've never heard. This guy will never make it with this radio station because he does everything from 50s doo-wop to classical cuts. And that's great fun. Back in the 50s, but it's nonsense these days. And he's got one talk show, two talk shows. He does one from 3 to 6 called The Long Drive Home, and then Al Franken, and the rest of it is garbage. But Kathy came home today and stood in the kitchen and looked at me and said, "You're not going to believe this." Now you tell it, because I can't get my mind around it.
Well, first let me just say that there is a morning show that we've never heard, but Larry Larson's morning show, and I don't know if it's any good or not, but Larry Larson's a local actor, and anyway, don't know if it's bad or not. Just a little background. This was the programming that you used to hear on 1160 AM, and the owner of 1160 bought 1690 and moved all the programming from 1160 to 1690, with the exception of Al Franken. He's kept that show. So, yeah, I got in the car today and turned on the radio, and he was this guy's name is Weber. I think his last name is Weber, and the new owner. And he does his own show, like I said, 3 to 6, Long Drive Home. And he was railing on Jerry Springer. And apparently he'd been getting a ton of calls and email and maybe snail mail saying, what's going on? Where's Springer? Where's Malloy? Where's Maddow? Where's Hartman?
Randy.
Where's Randy? Where's the whole lineup? How come? And the odd thing is, when you hear Al Franken's show, it's exactly taken from the Air America stream, so you hear promos for Randy, you hear promos for Jerry, so it's very confusing. So people apparently are calling him, and I get in the middle of the screen on Springer, where Weber was calling him everything but a human being for his vile television talk show, and he would never support, you know, a person who had that. And then he started talking about self-hating Jews. He would never have self-hating Jews on his network.
Now I say he was referring to Randy Rhodes.
I have no idea. I mean, I'm not going to
because Randy will do what I do. She will criticize policies of the state of Israel. Go ahead.
And then he said that he would never tolerate anybody on his radio waves that would ever question the official government story of 9/11, because Jews were blown up in the World Trade Center, and no American president would allow Jews to be blown up in the World Trade Center, and that, you know, that he would not allow any host to ever come on the air and criticize Israel.
That must be me.
Because Israel, has been so persecuted, the people of Israel, and for millennia, and, you know, there's nothing anybody can ever say about Israel that, anyway, I was just staring at...
Well, it is shocking for a station owner. First of all, he may own the station. He may have bought this frequency for $12 million. But it used to be that these were the public airwaves, and people had an obligation to behave in a certain way where it concerned presenting programming.
I haven't gotten to the best part.
But, okay, what's the best part?
The best part is, then he said, so you people who are calling me and who are emailing me, you might as well stop wasting your dime, stop wasting your breath, stop wasting my time. And, in fact, if that's the kind of talk radio you want to hear, I don't want you listening to my station. I don't want you as a listener.
His station, yeah. Okay. What is astonishing, though, is when Kathy came in and told me about it, when you came in and told me about this, the reference to Israel, the reference to a self-hating Jew. He was not going to put on his air a self-hating Jew, and that's got to be a direct reference to either Sam Cedar or Randy Rhodes, because they both will criticize policies of the state of Israel. And of course, so will I. But not being Jewish, I fall into that category of somebody who will criticize the state of Israel for its policies. Now, this is astonishing. I mean, it really, really, really is astonishing that a man would declare, a man who owns a radio station would declare that people who have a particular political point of view, he's not going to allow. I mean, make the declaration. Now, we all know that so many media conglomerates in this country do this, but they don't declare it. Maybe we should celebrate the fact that this Weber character is so honest. If you don't support Israel, if you're not pro-Israeli, you're not going to be on his program, period. And he's not going to allow people on that he calls self-hating Jews. Unbelievable.
And then he went on to play, like, a selection from the opera Carmen, and then some other song about birds, and then there was some Led Zeppelin, and then followed by a song from the movie Monsoon Wedding. It's the damnedest thing you've ever heard. I've been told to give out the phone number. That's if you want to contact JW Broadcasting about their programming changes, that would be 404-223-1160. And again, they used to be on 1160 AM.
Now, don't we have this on our website?
It's also up as...
Yeah, go to Mike Malloy. Go to MikeMalloy.com. It's right there on the main page. But for all the people, we came in here the other night, and there were like 150 messages on our answering machine.
Yeah, maxed it out. Yeah.
And Kathy had to put a message on. Says, don't call here. This is just a studio. We have nothing to do with 1160. But this blatant... I can't help but say just an absolutely racist statement by this guy. That is that racism? I don't know what it is, but it's sickening. It's absolutely sickening that he would make a statement like that and declare that unless you have an accepted, in his mind, an accepted position where it concerns Israeli policies, you're not going to be on his station.
And you're not to listen to his station.
And don't listen to his station.
He doesn't want you as a listener.
It's, I don't know. I don't know.
On Air America Radio.
If you're $10,000 in credit card debt or more and are making minimum monthly payments but getting nowhere, Debt Relief USA has the answer. Call 1-800-516-6567 now. Debt Relief USA has ways through special programs to reduce your principal and interest. You may qualify to reduce your credit card debt as much as 75%. Just call 1-800-516-6567 for a risk-free debt analysis. Stop losing sleep over annoying, harassing phone calls. Don't even consider bankruptcy until you know your options. We cannot help unless you call 1-800-516-6567 today. Our debt relief specialists understand and know the answer to getting you out of credit card debt fast. Just one call will put your life back on track. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call for a free debt evaluation at 1-800-516-6567 for the relief you need. Debt Relief USA is helping Americans re-secure their financial future one client at a time, excluding Maryland and New York.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Iraq and Guantanamo Bay were on the agenda as President Bush held a news conference at the White House Wednesday. One day after paying a surprise visit to Iraq, Bush said he remains upbeat about progress being made in the country. He again rejected calls to set a timetable for troop withdrawal. Bush also said he would like to close down Guantanamo Bay, the camp for hundreds of prisoners in the global terror war. With no cuts in American troop strength in Iraq on the horizon, some New York area military men and women are volunteering to go back to Iraq and into battle. Glenn Schuck reports.
As President Bush says the U.S. will stay the course in Iraq and no immediate troop withdrawal is forthcoming, on this Flag Day, Army Specialist John Scatapiaco of Long Island says that means a third trip for him back to the war zone in Iraq.
Personal pride that comes out of being a combat vet is probably, I'm saying it's being right up there with being a father.
He says he's also returning to duty because he's angered by the way American troops are being portrayed by the media.
We're showing that we're not the so-called imperialist nasty pigs that we've been made out to be.
So at 40 years old and with children at home, he's now signed up for six more years with the Army. Glenn Schuck in New York.
Fire crews and aircraft are battling a new wildfire in the Coconino National Forest west of Flagstaff, Arizona. Detective Tim Mason is with the Department of Public Safety.
The number of campgrounds have been consumed by the fire, as well as the Department of Public Safety's dispatch center.
High winds are fanning the flames and have forced the mandatory evacuation of one subdivision. The fire has charred between 150 and 200 acres. A series of reports released Wednesday suggest hospital emergency rooms are in a crisis situation. The reports out of the Institute of Medicine found that emergency rooms in the U.S. do not have adequate staff, are overwhelmed with patients, and are unable to cope with a crisis. The reports say emergency room services are not properly funded and frequently do not live up to what is expected of them. For the second time in as many weeks, in Aurora, Colorado, an infant has been left inside a car. The police say it was 95 degrees when officers found the three-month-old boy inside the locked car in a parking lot. Last week, a woman left her child in her car while she was partying at a popular Aurora night spot. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Associated Press carried on AOL's, carried by AOL. If you subscribe to AOL, and God help me, I still use it. I know. Don't write to me and tell me what a traitor I am. But they had an article there. The title is Being Outrageous, Is There Bad Publicity? And it's written by a writer for the AP. And it mentions the foul-smelling Ann Coulter and her new book and the comments in the book bashing the September 11 widows. For those of you who didn't hear it, she says these broads are millionaires, lionized on TV and in articles about them, reveling in their status as celebrities and stalked by grieferazzis. She says, I've never seen people enjoying their husband's death so much. And by the way, how do we know their husbands weren't planning to divorce these harpies? You know, that sort of thing. Anyway, the purpose of the story is to point out, no matter what you say in celebrity-driven America, if you're a celebrity, it just increases your celebrityness. The only thing that stops it is the perp walk. You know, if you're found guilty of something and you're marched across the plaza with your hands in cuffs behind your back, that sort of thing is not good. But anything other than that, in a society as sick as this one, increases your book sales, elevates your status, yada, 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 yada. Limbaugh, the pig man, the drug-addled pig son of a bitch, has been criticized for his comments on blacks, on feminists, on gays, liberals. Limbaugh is another example of the sewer in this country, and how no matter what you say, as you scream from the sewer, it elevates your rhetoric. Recently, he called the black student making rape accusations against Duke lacrosse players a hoe. Oh, Rush, when you talk ghetto, I just want to come down and get on you, bro. He called her a hoe. He's called feminists feminazis. He's used the sound effect of a vacuum cleaner on a show to simulate abortion. Yada, 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 yada. So the article by AP just goes on and on and on about these right-wing vermin. And then it says, on the left, filmmaker Michael Moore, the Oscar-winning director of Fahrenheit 9/11, is a particular target of conservatives for his no-holds-barred attacks on President Bush. MSNBC host Tucker Carlson calls him actually worse than Ann Coulter because she actually makes arguments you can rebut. What drove me crazy when I see something like this, you see, is what does Michael Moore do? Michael Moore exposes lies, corruption, fraud, deceit, murderous behavior, stinking, filthy, right-wing corporatists. He's like the Lone Ranger. He's like Robin Hood. He's like the old muckrakers. That's what he does. What do these pigs and whores and bastards on the right do? They character assassinate. They jump down people's throats. They attack the victims. You never hear Limbaugh or this foul-smelling Ann Coulter or any of these pigs, Hannity, attacking the perpetrators. No, they always attack and denigrate and belittle the victims. That's the difference. And to the AP writer who wrote this, Jocelyn Novak, are you out of your mind? Are you so sick that you equate Michael Moore with a pig like Limbaugh and a foul-smelling psychopath like Ann Coulter? I swear to God, we have slipped through the rabbit hole. I'm not here to defend Michael Moore. He can defend himself. But it's just, it's disgusting how the remnants of what used to be an honorable profession in this country, journalism, and there are still a few good journalists left, but the remnants of that profession now, every time I read about the scum on the right and the way they attack, they always attack people who can't fight back. And then to equate that with an honest-to-God, muckraking filmmaker like Michael Moore, that's what these pissy little writers, these pissy little journalists, that's what passes now for balance. The comments by Ann Coulter attacking the 9/11 widows equates somehow in the minds of these so-called journalists with the muckraking investigative reporting of Michael Moore. It's astonishing. It's astonishing. Let's go to your phone calls. Moses, oh no, you're kidding me, is calling from Miami. You're not the real Moses.
No, Mike. I spoke to you earlier before when there was the Catholics were talking about the lesbian, and we had a conversation about that. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, okay. All right. Now I remember. All right.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Ann Coulter, I'm so happy that you mentioned this. Look, these people, they're just disgusting. And Ann Coulter really, she really is talking for the majority of the conservatives because that's how they think. You know, that's exactly how these conservatives think. Now, it's sad that it's not a Republican leadership who's thinking about these things, who's thinking about these things who are actually saying it, because then the Democrats can use this as an attack. But really, it's not the 9/11 widows who are becoming celebrities off 9/11. It's the Republicans who are using.
Sure.
Who are using 9/11 to boost themselves as a celebrity. For example, Mel Martinez, the senator of Florida, is used 9/11 terrorist to attack Betty Castor, who ran for the Democratic Senate.
Right. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that that campaign. Unbelievable.
They used 9/11.
She was a former
continuously use it.
Wasn't she the former University of South Florida a provost or president or something?
Yeah, well, you know, from what I heard, she was president of a university. I mean,
University of South Florida in Tampa, yes.
Yes, and he said that she harbored terrorists when this president has harbored Abu Musab al-Zarqawi and bin Laden. He said that she's, you know, she was reckless in noticing whether a terrorist was operating in the school. When this president is completely... you know, was reckless and when terrorists were operating here in this country.
I know.
I know I'm being wiretapped or whatever they're doing, but, you know, I just don't care. They're taking away our freedom of speech. Look at what they're doing over there. Mike, you have a lot of influence. Is there anything that we could possibly do?
No. Wait a second, Moses. Truly, I don't have a lot. I don't have any influence. This is a late night radio program. We have no influence here. We just get together and raise hell. but influence to do what?
Well, to have those people in Atlanta, or for anything to at least change the media and to get
not in Atlanta, not in the South. This is a nest of viperish right wingers. This is Atlanta, Georgia. This is Birmingham, Alabama. This is I can go on and on. This is Charlotte, North Carolina. This is Charleston, South Carolina. When you are in the South and you declare yourself to be a liberal or a progressive, your chances of having a media pulpit is slim and slimmer. So no, there's nothing to do. When a thug like this guy buys the station and then Deep Six is the programming here. That's his right. It's his station, like he says. So, no, there's nothing, that, absolutely nothing to be done. And the reason we brought up the story is because, A, it was shocking, but, B, just to let people know who listened in the Atlanta area to stop trying to make an effort to do anything about it. This is Atlanta. This is Atlanta. This area does not want any other voice on the air other than this disgusting, sick, right-wing drivel. And, you know, let them stew in it as far as I'm concerned. Moses, I gotta leave it there, pal. I got to leave there. We got a break. Thanks, Moses. I'll talk to you again. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
In TV, you need intelligence, integrity, and a camera to cover the news. They've got the camera.
Were we rolling on that?
On what?
Comedy Central's Dog Bites Man. Tonight at 10:30, 9:30 Central. They're the news team that won't stop until they get the big stories. Are all bodybuilders bisexual? Is spring break broken?
Well, certain stories are good for sweeps week. We've tackled what's in your muffin. Who else is going to go there?
Dog Bites Man. Tonight at 10:30, 9:30 Central. Only on Comedy Central.
I'm Bob Harris to tell you about my new Smart Balance Omega Plus Light Mayonnaise with flax oil and plant sterols. New Smart Balance Omega Mayo has 500 milligrams of omega-3s per serving, natural plant sterols to help offset cholesterol, and half the fat and calories of regular mayonnaise. Enjoy my new Smart Balance Omega Light Mayonnaise in salads and sandwiches. You get an omega-3 wallop in every tasty dollop of my new Smart Balance Light Mayonnaise.
Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
You knocked me out off my feet. Boom, 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 boom.
21 past the hour. All right, let's go back to some phone calls here, okay, for the rest of the program. I just get carried away sometimes. The phone number here is 866-303-2270. Oh, speaking of changing the composition of Congress, if you got the time, go right now to democracyforamerica.com, democracyforamerica.com/housevote, and cast a vote for Steve Sinton here in Georgia. This will help him get funded. He's running for Congress here in Georgia. We've had him on the program. He needs the support. He's running against one of these foul-smelling, death-dealing right-wing Republicans. So I'm sure most of you are aware of this. democracyforamerica.com/housevote. And look at the names there. Steve Sinton. Cast your vote for him. This helps people get funded. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what to say. I know I'm always making this pitch to you, but please go there. All right? Okay. Where are we? Let's, how about Philip in Scranton, PA? Philip, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike. And actually, good morning, Mike, and good morning, NSA.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Yes. Mike, I have a theory. I think Bush is bipolar.
You think?
I've seen I knew a friend that was bipolar, and just like they would have multiple personalities, things like that, and just like couldn't, you know, comprehend anything that was going on.
Don't you think that Bush is just a very ignorant man, not because he's learning disabled, but because he never had to pay attention and never did, and now he's in the position that he's in, and it's very frustrating for this half-wit because he is supposed to be the President of the United States, he's supposed to be the leader of the free world, and he's so far in over his head he can't even put together a compound sentence. I think it's just because he is a very ignorant, stupid, narcissistic little man who is just eaten up with all sorts of psychological problems. When you listen to him talk, when you hear how he presents his point of view, no matter what the issue is, it just reeks of social and psychopathology to me. It really does. Maybe he is bipolar, but I think the major part of his problem is that he's just a dumb person, absolutely stupid.
And the last thing I'll say, to kind of scare any people that have Republican friends or whatever, because just, you know, I have to work with them. I scare them by just saying, well, what if gas got to $6 a gallon?
Right.
And then they just crap their pants. They go crazy. They go really wild.
Right. Well, I hope it goes to $20 a gallon, except for the fact of the truckers. But aside from that, you know, how stupid to be an American, and the only thing you can think about is how expensive gas might go to. Jesus, God. Hey, listen, I got to leave there. I got a lot of people on hold. Thanks, Philip. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Take care. John is calling from Sydney, Australia. John, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you. It's been a long time.
My pleasure.
First off, I want to let you know that 12th Harmonic blog is back online at a new URL, which instead of .com, it's now 12thharmonic.net, and Scotty the Duck and all that stuff has been restored.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. I was starting to wonder. We hadn't heard from you guys. We didn't know what was going on. For people who don't know, 12th, that's 1-2-T-H, 12thharmonic. What is it now?
Net. .net.
.net.
Yeah, we ran into a minor bit of, shall we say, red tape with our domain name when switching hosts, and it took a little time, and I just gave up. But I wanted to ring you on this whole thing about the self-hating Jew.
Okay.
And this, hap- this happens to ring close to home for me because I have a very good journalist friend who I've emailed you about in the past, a gentleman by the name of Anthony Lowenstein.
Uh-huh.
And you can get him at anthonylowenstein.com is his blog. And he is a young Jewish Australian who looks at the Israel-Palestine situation with very, very, very clear eyes.
Right.
And a couple of months ago, we had the pleasure of recording a lecture with the one, the only Robert Fisk.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, we got to go up to his hotel room and do a one-on-one interview with him. And I will send this to you.
I wish you would.
And he talks about, and one of the things that he constantly talks about with this is he talks about the semantics of reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a Western journalist, and this is one of the examples that he used, if you're a Western journalist and you refer to the Israeli settlements as colonies, you're going to be called anti-Semitic.
Well, oh yeah. Oh, Jesus, I get it all the time here. I get it all the time. Okay.
And my favorite one, he said, and if you refer to the fence as a wall, you'll get the same reaction. And he says, well, I remember the Berlin fence, but we didn't really call it that.
Yeah, hey, John, I've got a break. Can you hold on?
Sure thing.
Okay, let me put you on hold. We'll come back after the break. This is Air America. I'm Mike Molloy. Stay with us.
The Mike Molloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
Hi, it's Sam Cedar with news about my new book, FUBAR, America's Right-Wing Nightmare, co-authored by Majority Report's Stephen Sherrill, which Vanity Fair said is biased and hilarious. Now, I've promised every time you buy a copy of FUBAR, a conservative poops his pants. Here's a Wall Street analyst.
We've seen a marked uptick in the adult diaper industry.
And here's an expert on cause and effect.
Well, it's possible that this has something to do with FUBAR, but I don't think...
Proof positive that when you purchase FUBAR, America's right-wing nightmare, a conservative indeed poops his pants.
We'll be right back.
the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour, we're talking with John from 12thharmonic.net. He was calling in from Sydney, Australia. All right, John, go ahead. Thanks for your patience.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine, man. It was a really interesting thing getting to be in such a one-on-one situation with Robert Fisk. Anthony Lowenstein, who does the interview, which you'll have in your mailbox by tomorrow.
Okay.
This guy is a very, very gifted writer, and he's got a wonderful book coming out in about a month called My Israel Question. And the real nutbags are already trying to destroy him.
Sure.
I built his blog, by the way, and I see the absolutely vile stuff that comes through his commenting.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. I don't know if I could do what someone like he does.
Mm-hmm.
To stand up so strong and yet have people who are supposedly from your own, you know, denomination or whatever of faith attack you so hard just because you believe that maybe the Palestinians have as much right to sovereignty, safety, and peace and their own place as the Israelis do.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a very interesting piece, it's about a month ago in the Australian, about the fact that U.S. foreign policy is probably way over dictated by its connection with Israel and the Zionists.
Mm-hmm.
And usually Anthony gets really bad reactions from these things, but I'm wondering if there is a certain aspect of the greater media that is starting to open up to the idea that we have to look at this slightly differently. Because
well, not in this country. Not in this country. It's still an off limits topic, and I am I could tell you stories to go back 20 years of what I've experienced because of my position where it concerns Israel, not where it concerns Jews, but where it concerns Israel, and it's just simply an outrage. You know, if someone were to say to my face. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I really do, because I'm kind of trigger happy anyway. But if somebody were to say to my face, Malloy, you're an anti-Semite, before they finished the sentence, I would cold cock them. I would just I'd put everything I had into a nice right hook, and their ass would be on the ground. If somebody called me a racist, in the sense that they mean it, I claim, since I am an American, I do claim a certain elemental form of racism that sticks inside every white person, Jew or Gentile. And the object is to fight against it and to work against it. But, I feel that strongly about it. I've gone out of my way, to try to present a balanced point of view where it concerns the Israeli-Palestinian issue, and I still get it. And usually I get it from smart asses who use a Hotmail or a Yahoo.com address. Yeah, really. But I mean that. If somebody were to say to my face, you're an anti-Semite, two things would happen. I would deck them, and then I would go to jail for assault. And I know that, and I just accept it. It's just part of who I am.
Hey, I'm the same way. And if any of the listeners are interested, when there is not fresh content like the Mike Malloy Show going on, if you go by fourthestateradio.com, which is my radio show, there is the Fisk lecture and three others archived there, in which people can go and download them and listen to them. And
mm-hmm.
there's a particularly interesting one from a historian by the name of Humphrey McQueen, and it was titled, If It's Not Fascism, What Is It?
Mm-hmm.
And I have gotten so much personal insight from being able to listen to these things over and over, and why I've been so glad that I've had the opportunity to get these lectures each month. It's a series that we're doing down here in Sydney. And we're working on actually hopefully getting John Pilger at some point this year. And I kind of am hoping that when Anthony Lowenstein's book comes out, and I will keep you posted on that,
please
I
do.
Think you will find him an amazingly interesting guest. I've interviewed him on my show a couple of times, and he's wonderful. And I think you will probably find someone that sees things in a similar way that you do. And
I really find on this subject, nobody else has the clarity that I see from mm-hmm. this young man.
Well, yeah, keep me posted because I will have him on as a guest in a heartbeat. I'm always looking for guests and very seldom find them here in the United States. And I know I'm setting myself up for an awful lot of emails in saying this, but people who can present a balanced point of view where it concerns the Israeli-Palestinian issue. There are an awful lot of writers and commentators who can do just that. But what I'm saying is, it is extremely difficult to present that particular issue in this particular country, and it has been for a very long time, probably for the past 25 or 30 years. And it just galls me when what happens is like what Kathy said, that because I present not even a pro-Palestinian point of view, but because I criticize, as I reserve the right to do, any sovereign nation, I don't care if it's Russia, Israel, the United States, it makes no difference to me, because I criticize Israel, some of the hate mail that I get is astonishing. Now, some of the supportive mail I get from obviously Jewish listeners, because they identify themselves as such, is heartening. It feels very good to understand, to know that the whack jobs that accuse me of being an anti-Semite are just that, whack jobs. And they're global, they're universal, but they are especially poisonous and vitriolic in this country. Are you still there, John? Uh-oh. Did we lose John? All right, John, I'm sorry. We apparently have lost the call. I guess the NSA decided you'd had enough airtime on the Molloy program in the United States, and they decided to disconnect you, whatever. Check out that man's website. It's based in Sydney, Australia, 12thharmonic.net. We have done several things with them over the past 3 or 4 years. Primarily played a lot of music, didn't we, Kathy? They put together songs and music and stuff that we've played. But check it out. It's 12th, as in numerically, 12th, 1-2-T-H, harmonic.net. Check it out. Back to your calls. David is calling from Kansas City. David, welcome to the program. Hey, David.
Hey, I just wanted to let your listeners know about if I know you haven't had a chance to listen to Randy Rhodes lately, but she's got, well, we don't have an Air America affiliate in Kansas City either, but fortunately I have XM and online and that kind of thing. But I wanted to let listeners know about a video. This was on her website yesterday. Uh-huh. It's actually on crooksandliars.com. It is private security contractors in Iraq, and they're just randomly shooting at civilians. Like they're in an SUV and there's a guy with a machine gun. And
yeah, I haven't seen the video you're talking about, but I've heard about it. I've probably seen maybe a couple of quick clips or stills from that video. It's beyond belief that Americans are that way. Yeah, yeah.
I want to let people know about that. I've been sending that to my friends because we have these vigils going on in Kansas City every Sunday. I can't get any of my friends to go or be interested in this. And so I'm trying to, maybe if they see, what's actually going on, but I can't seem to get anyone interested in going. But I wanted to let, if there's any Kansas City listeners, I wanted to let them know that every Sunday, at the J.C. Nichols Fountain in the plaza, we have vigils going on, and they'll be going on until the war is ended. Is what it's supposed to be. And we have protesters and speakers, and we discuss lots of different topics, such as election reform. So if anybody's in the KC area, feel free to come check it out.
All right, what's the location again? This is in the plaza. I've been there. That's a very interesting place. Of course, it's been years since I've been there, but it's the big fountain right there in the middle?
But yeah, the J.C. Nichols Fountain. And I don't know the exact intersection or address, but we should be there every Sunday about 4 o'clock.
All right, that sounds good. Thanks.
I was there over Memorial Day, and it was amazing.
Thanks for letting us know, David. Hey, listen,
okay, nope.
thanks for checking in. Take care, okay?
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right, David. Mary is calling from Michigan. Mary, welcome to the program.
Hi, I'm really glad to talk to you. I saw a friend of yours today, Nancy Skinner. Yeah, she came to talk at our Democratic Club meeting. I'm in 11th District, not the district that Nancy's running in, but we have Tony Trupiano. I don't know if you know him.
Yes, I do. Yeah, he's a former radio talk show host.
Yeah, yeah, he's running in our district, so we're all working real hard for him. And I saw Nancy and had a nice talk with her. And
oh, great.
She talked about what a smart guy you are. And I said, yeah, I've learned a lot just listening to you.
Oh, my.
Yep. I know you don't like compliments, so I'll drop it.
Okay, good. Thank
but
you.
My reason for my call is Ann Coulter. And, you know, I am just sick of turning on cable and seeing them promote that bitch on every single show. And what I think would be a good idea is if the 9/11 widows would get together and sue that bitch for defamation of character.
Hold on. I got to take a break. I think would it be good if the 9/11 widows would get together and tie her to a stake and burn her. But that's just me. Hold on a second. I'll come back right after this break, Mary. So stay right there. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
Faces come out of the rain when you strain. No one remembers your name when you strain. When you strain, when you're strained, all right, yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for The Forward. That's 800-641-2626.